Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We have all kinds of great stuff to talk about today. We're going to throw in some NBA talk here in just a moment. Also on the show, we'll be joined by Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, also the host of the nationally syndicated horse racing show, The Fast Track, which you can hear every weekend. And we're going to talk Preakness. Always dreaming. We talked a little bit about him yesterday, where he's going to be breaking from in the race this weekend. So we'll talk some Preakness coming up in just a bit. Also, we'll talk some local baseball. Coach Willie Ellington of the Price American Legion squad is set to join us. A fundraiser for the team will take place tonight at the Carbon County Event Center. So we'll talk about that and the start of the regular season. But I want to open the show by talking about the NBA. Last night, I was heavily wrong on the game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. I thought Boston would win last night. Not only was I wrong, I was massively wrong. Once again, we had a snooze fest of a game. I was really hoping that Boston would at least give us an interesting conference final series, because we're not going to get that in the Western Conference. That series is over. Golden State has that thing won. Today, the big topic in the NBA is that, the all-NBA teams were released. And this is why it's so relevant. It has a direct impact on free agency now. And if you're unaware as to why, I'm going to tell you about it in just a second. First off, the all-NBA first team. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis. I don't think there's a huge surprise there. Harden, Westbrook, James, Leonard, Davis. All second team. Steph Curry, Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Rudy Gobert. So the Jazz getting a little bit of love. Keep that in mind here. All-NBA third team. John Wall, DeMar DeRozan, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, DeAndre Jordan. The only problem I have with the all-third team, all-second team, and all-first team selections is the fact that DeAndre Jordan is a member of the NBA third team. He shouldn't be. This guy's a huge liability offensively. And when you play with one of the best point guards that we've seen over the last 20 years in Chris Paul, and that's exactly what he is, and he possessed a top two win share total this year, and you get bounced in the first round, you have no business being on the first, second, or third team. Because that tells me that your impact on the game is so singular, it's so narrow. Also is a pretty clear indication of where the big man position is at right now in the NBA. So, no Gordon Hayward, no Chris Paul, which is absurd that Chris Paul is not a first, second, or third team member, but no Paul George either. So, no Hayward and no Paul. Now, why is this big? Okay, under the new collective bargaining agreement, this is between the NBA and its players, one of the inclusions of the three media voted teams opens the door for the designated player status. Now, if you're unaware of what that is, it basically affects individuals on their second contract with their rookie team. So Gordon Hayward would have been eligible for the designated player status had he been selected to the first, second, or third team. Same with Paul George. Remember, these two guys were drafted in the same year, and they're both on their second contract with their rookie team. The status, this was placed in the CBA to provide, I guess, greater financial incentive for young players to stick with their teams. Remember, that was such a big topic the last time the CBA was being discussed, because you had owners like Dan Gilbert at that particular time crying that smaller market teams had no chance of keeping their talent because of larger markets like LA, Miami, New York. And people in small markets complain about that kind of stuff all the time. So they put this in. If you have a budding young talent and he is selected to one of the first, second, or third team All-NBA squads, it gives their current team the opportunity to designate that player and give him upwards of $50 to $70 million more than any other team could offer him. So if Paul George would have been selected, the Pacers could have offered him a massive deal, like 5 years, maybe $70 million more than what they're going to be able to offer him. Without him being selected to one of these teams, he's not eligible for a five-year extension with the Pacers beginning this summer. His yearly salary would have equaled about 35% of his team's cap. And so with there being no added incentive for George to cash in with the Pacers, and already this guy's flirting with the idea of leaving Indiana, the Pacers may actually have to explore trading him this offseason or risk losing him outright, because now you don't have that massive contract and money to dangle in front of him. Hayward's a little bit different here because Gordon can opt out of his contract this offseason. But still, less financial incentive for him to stick around Utah beyond the summer. The Jazz can offer him a five-year deal compared to the other suitors of four, but because he's not at least a member of the All-NBA third team, which I think he probably should have been, it's probably going to cost him around $50 million as far as what the Jazz can offer him long-term. It's one of those things, it's just absolutely insane that the media has this much control over what a team can offer. But again, if you have something like this in the CBA, there's really no other way to do it. I had this conversation with a couple of other pundits earlier today. There's no other way to do it. You can't allow the coaches and the GMs to vote. You can't. I mean, think about that. If that's not a conflict of interest, what is? You can't allow the players to vote. I mean, they had their opportunity with the All-Star game this year, and look what happened there. You can't allow the fans to vote because we've had a problem there with the All-Star game for the last 20 years. So if you're going to have something like this in the CBA, really the only way to do it is to let the media vote on it. However, it really affects Indiana's ability to keep Paul George. I still think Hayward stays in Utah. His situation's a little bit different. Although if you're a Jazz fan, you were really hoping that he would appear on one of the first three teams just because you have so much more money you could offer Hayward to stay here in Utah. Now that's not the case. I think Paul George is done in Indiana. And if the Pacers are smart, they would look to move him immediately so you're not stuck getting nothing for him. Because, again, I don't know that Paul George is a franchise-changing player. He's a very good player. I think in the right system, he's a guy that you can build around. But you don't want to lose him outright. You don't want to lose him for nothing. And I think Indiana's in danger of that now, especially with this revelation today. Let's move on and talk some NFL football. Heavy rainfall in Los Angeles has delayed the highly anticipated nearly $3 billion stadium in Inglewood that the Rams and Chargers are going to share. It was originally supposed to open the season of 2019. Instead, it has to open now in 2020. Both teams made this announcement today. In the meantime, the Rams are going to continue to play at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum for another year. The Chargers will have one more season at the StubHub Center in Carson. This affects the Chargers a whole lot more than it affects the Rams. Why? Because the StubHub Center sits about 30,000 people. Now, where this really gets weird is that the stadium, the Kroenke Palace, was approved to host the Super Bowl in 2021, but it remains to be seen if the NFL is going to allow that now, because their rules stipulate that a team cannot host a Super Bowl at the end of a stadium's inaugural season. And that's what would happen. 2021 would in fact be the end of the first season that this stadium is open. So heavy rainfall in Los Angeles, not a good thing as far as the stadium situation goes. Let's take a look at the scoreboard in Major League Baseball. We had all kinds of day games today to follow. And as far as some of the finals go, earlier today, Pittsburgh knocking off Washington by a final score of 10-4. It was Detroit over Baltimore 6-5. The Tigers now climb the .500 barrier. They're at 20-19. The Rockies continue to roll. They top the Twins 5-1. It was Texas over Philadelphia 8-4. Still to come tonight, the Rockies will take on the Twins once again. Doubleheader action. Second game is scheduled to start at 5:10. We get the Blue Jays and the Braves, the Yankees and the Royals. The Red Sox are on the road to take on the Athletics. The Mariners play host to the White Sox, and we get the Marlins and the Dodgers tonight. Ryu on the mound for the Dodgers. As far as games that are currently being played, the Padres hold a slight edge on the Brewers. And a game that was final about an hour ago, the Cubs knocking off the Reds by a final score of 9-5. We have a great show lined up for you here today. It's a Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to get it off and rolling in just a moment. Plus, a local sports update is right around the corner. 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It's Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. As the spring sports season reaches the home stretch, student athletes around the state are receiving recognition for excellence inside the classroom. Spanning over four sports, eight individuals from Carbon High School have qualified for the academic all-state teams. Chase Morgan was one of 10 individuals to qualify for baseball's academic squad, which combined for a 3.998 GPA. Morgan was also selected to the basketball all-academic team of the winter, which came with a cumulative 3.9 GPA. Like Morgan, McKenna Sorensen earned her second academic all-state honor, this time in softball. She joined nine others with a cumulative 3.95 GPA. Sorensen also received the honor in basketball this past season. Paul Briner and Logan Engar both received nods for the award in boys track and field, which had a combined GPA of 3.998. Both Sadie Crompton and Sarah Owyler were recognized on the girls' side as the team combined for a 4.0 GPA. Briner, Crompton, and Owyler also received the honor this past fall for cross country. Tennis players Jason and Jonas Nielsen were 2 of 11 to receive the award. The group of the outstanding student athletes combined for a perfect 4.0 GPA. Logan Cox and Ty Meekum were both recognized for track and field. They joined a group of others who combined for a 3.993 GPA, while Emory golfer Aaron Oliverson was one of five named to the Golf All Academic Squad. Congratulations to those student athletes who have displayed excellence both on the field and in the classroom. Today, the Emory Lady Spartans will look to carry the momentum from a first-place finish on the golf course in Region 15 as they turn their focus to the season finale at the Mountain View Golf Course in West Jordan for the 2A State Championship. The Lady Spartans will begin the tournament at 10:10 a.m. on hole number one as Aaron Oliverson tees off. The final group featuring an Emory golfer will tee off on the same hole at 11. Once again dominating the regular season, Emory will look to build off of last year's second-place finish at state. Last year, all six Lady Spartans had scores that placed them in the top 25 individually. Tasia Price finished sixth, just ahead of teammate Sydney Guyman. Sarah Swayze and Aaron Oliverson tied for 18th with two others. Guyman's consistent performance throughout the year was enough for her to wrap up first place overall in Region 15. She finished with 256 points and topped teammate Tasia Price by just two. Junior Laney Jensen finished in fifth with 223 points, giving Emory three of the top five golfers in the region. You can get the complete tee-off times at CastleCountryRadio.com. We move over to the baseball diamond, and today the Carbon Dinos will look to keep their season alive as they take on Stansbury in an elimination contest in Spanish Fork. The Dinos won their most recent game, knocking Morgan out of the tournament with a 13-2 win. Today's contest in Stansbury presents a different challenge for the Dinos. Coach Jeff Cinceneres talked about what's ahead for his team.
I love our chances if we can continue to swing the bat. I think we have a deep pitching staff. You know, I have four legitimate starters that could throw an entire game for us. And then I've got four guys that can come in off the bench as relievers and pitch also. So, when we look at a staff that's eight or nine deep, I'm really comfortable with it. As long as we can hit the baseball and play some defense, I really like our chances of moving forward.
If Carbon can get a win in this contest later tonight at 7, they would take on either Juan Diego or Union. A loss brings a season to the end. A win in the second game tonight means Carbon would play at 1:30 tomorrow. Now we stick with the spring sports season, and we move over to softball, where once again the Carbon Lady Dinos will return to the diamond as they look to keep their season alive. They too are in the one-loss bracket, and their first contest will take place today at 3:15, and it will feature either the Grantsville Cowboys or the Desert Hills Thunder. Those two teams will play at 1 p.m. The loser immediately takes the field once again at 3:15. A win for the Dinos means that they could play a group of three teams later on tomorrow. That contest would be at 10 a.m. in the morning. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio for the results as soon as they become available. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini. We have more baseball talk here on the Coach's Corner. It's been baseball talk all week. I have no complaints about it. Love the baseball diamond. And as we get closer to the end of the high school season, we start focusing on the American Legion season, and we have two teams in the Castle Country. Yesterday, we talked to Coach Jeff Cincinnaris about the Carbon High School squad and the Helper American Legion team. Today, we're going to focus on the Price American Legion squad. They actually have a fundraiser dinner tonight taking place at the Carbon County Event Center. Joining us in the studio, we have Coach Willie Ellington. Coach, it's been a while.
Yeah, Jordan, it's been a while, but, you know, it's always good to see you doing your job in the community, you know, taking care of us and explaining things to the people in the community. So I just appreciate that, being able to come in here, you know, and talk American Legion baseball. You know, it's starting to get a little excited about it.
Yeah, it's not that far off as the high school season is near its end. You know, we start gearing up for the Summer Bowl. And as far as Price American Legion goes, you guys have been at it now for a couple of weeks, right, with tryouts. I mean, it's been a busy month.
Yeah, it has. You know, I was really, really optimistic about, you know, the team this year because I knew I'd had some senior boys that were looking at, you know, going to the military and going to work, you know, and so I was a little optimistic about, you know, how many players come out. But, you know, the other day we started on 11th. We had like 20 kids come out.
That's fantastic. Good numbers for you guys. And as far as the tryouts go, you like to the tryouts go for a couple of weeks with American Legion. I mean, you really give the kids on the Price team an opportunity to get out and play, even though you can't keep them all.
Yeah, you know, Jordan, you know, the past few years I got thinking about this. You know, high school starts around March, you know, and them kids are in really good shape, you know. And I figured, well, I need to give my guys, you know, a little bit of an edge. So I started tryout early because, you know, they're not doing nothing, you know. And, you know, obviously the high school boys can't do nothing until their season's done, you know. So I opened my tryout up till, you know, probably May 11th till the end of May. And then maybe might have a few of the high school boys that maybe want to come out, you know, and participate with us, you know, and that's always in the back of my mind. But the reason I started that, to give my kids that are been sitting around an opportunity to try to get a little early bird start.
Now, when will you officially make cuts and have your team set?
Well, you know, our Legion rules, you know, your roster's got to be in, I believe, the 1st of June, but you can add on to the 15th of June. So, you know, you can add and cut up till then, you know. And I like to look at character and, you know, talent-wise, and, you know, and the stronger survive, you know, and you give kids an opportunity to see, you know, we'll have our first game with St. George on the 3rd of June there at CU, you know, and they're a season team. So you're going to see some of these kids come out and see what they're up against, you know, and they'll either want to stay and face the challenge, or they'll, you know, find other things to do.
Now, Coach, I want you to go ahead and talk about the fundraiser tonight, Carbon County Event Center, 6 p.m. lasagna dinner.
We're having a lasagna dinner out at the Event Center, which starts at 6 o'clock. And, you know, if you haven't purchased a ticket, you know, you can, you know, show up at the door there. You know, Sam Farlino, I believe, is a great cook, you know. And, you know what, we pay our umpires $60 a game. You know, we get good sponsorship in the community, you know, and they can't do it all. You know, we pay our umpires $60 a game. You know, we go to Green River, Wyoming, and some other places, and, you know, and play. And, you know, to get in a tournament, maybe $400, dozen balls, you know. So it's important to try to do the best you can to raise as much as you can.
Now, this dinner is going to be at the Carbon County Event Center. Again, the cost is $10 for adults, $6 for children, right?
That's correct. Yes, Jordan, yes.
So make sure you get out. You'll get lasagna dinner prepared by Sam Forlano, and at the same time, you can support the Price American Legion baseball team. Now, we can jump back over to your guys' tryouts. As far as some of the kids that are returning to Price American Legion this year, who are some of the kids that you expect a lot out of that gave you some promise last year?
I believe that Trevor Pummel, you know, I'm really excited about him. I think he's a pretty seasoned pitcher. And I like Remington Mont, you know, and Elijah Ellington, you know, they're pretty seasoned players. So I'm looking forward to those guys, you know, doing a great job for the Price team.
And then, of course, you never know who's going to show up once high school baseball ends. You guys do have some kids from out of the area as well. You had a couple of Vernal kids.
Well, yeah, and I got a couple of Vernal boys. You know, them guys have been with me now going on 3 years. You know, we were faced 1 year, you know, going to an out-of-town tournament. And I had a few of my players that didn't want to go, and them boys stepped up and says, hey, I'll go. So they've been with me ever since then, and I appreciate that.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Willie Ellington of the Price American Legion baseball team. Coach, let's talk about the 2017 season in general, because there's some changes as far as the way the league is going to be structured. In fact, this year you guys will play a league schedule. After that, you'll go into a league tournament, which is going to take place in Helper. And then the top four teams will go to state, right?
That's correct. We have nine teams in our league in the southern region here. And eight out of the nine teams will participate in the first round state playing helper. And then four top teams out of that will be able to qualify to go to Kearns.
It seems like there's a little bit more structure to the Legion season than there has been over the last couple of years. It was kind of in flux there for a while, but now having a competitive league is going to help.
Well, without a doubt, you know, it's a challenge to all of us, especially for the young players. I look at it this way, Jordan: by beholding, you become changed. If you're going to play better players, you know, I believe that you're going to step up, you know, and so the challenge becomes real, you know, and I believe that I got some boys that want to do that this summer.
Now, your guys' first game will be on June 3rd, correct?
Yeah, we'll play a doubleheader with St. George at CU starting at, I believe, at 12. And so, yeah, come on out. And, you know, St. George is a season team, you know. And, you know, even sometimes you look at a 10-run game or something like that, you know. Hopefully that won't be the case. You still see some good things go on in the game.
And you guys will play all of your games at the USU Eastern Baseball Complex. Kind of become synonymous with Price American Legion Bowl. You guys have played your home games there now for the last few seasons.
Yes, we have, you know, and I appreciate Coach Mattson. You know, the field always looks great for us, and he keeps on top of it for us, you know, and it's fun to play here at CU at our home field.
Yeah, definitely. And then you guys will get that the conference tournament, or division tournament, we could call it, in Helper. So a lot of baseball in our own backyard for the Legion season.
Oh, you know, I'm really excited about that, especially the tournament Helper, you know, and talking to Coach Cincinnati, you know, he's going to beautify the field, and it's going to be looking nice up there. And I appreciate all of his hard work, too, and good luck to him and his game this week in the state tournament.
So you guys will have nine total teams. Eight of them will go to that tournament. The goal immediately has got to be to make sure you get to that tournament, right? I mean, that's the first goal that you lay forward for this team.
Yeah, that's, you know, that gives me something. The challenge for me is something. I hope that I can get there, you know, and because my guys always say we'd like to go to state tournament. But now here in the backyard, there's only nine teams and eight get to go. So, you know, we're going to fight to try to be one of those that get to play there.
So between now and the start of the season, since the team isn't necessarily solidified, what do tryouts look like? What are some of the things that you do during the time that you get the kids around this time of the year?
You know, first, I like to talk about character, you know, about wins and losses, you know, about commitment. You know, commitment is the key, you know. And I just get out there and show the guys our schedule, you know, because sometimes, you know, it can get pretty hectic. You know, I have them look at the schedule. I say, well, if you look at the schedule, if you think you can handle this, well, you're welcome to stay here. If you can't, then you maybe need to find other things to do. And then try to work on conditioning. I think conditioning is the key. Like, I've had a lot of my guys that's kind of sit around a little bit, you know, the last couple of months and stuff like that. So I like to try to get them running and making sure we're doing a lot of stretches and stuff like that. And communicating, you know, because these guys right now, Jordan, at this age, if you don't have the skills and the mechanics, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned it. The season's a grind. The Legion season, it's a lot of baseball in a short period of time.
You know, and I tell guys, you know, high school coaches and that, you know, you don't have a lot of time to try to work on mechanics and do other things. So you got to be doing a lot of things on your own, you know. And that's just the key, you know, because I believe that all of us in life, you know, we're young now. We figure, hey, you know, when I get older, this is going to get easier. But, you know, it doesn't. And so I try to tell the kids, enjoy your youth, you know, enjoy running and doing the things that you can do right now, because it gets tougher. You know, Jordan, you know, you're going to have different sicknesses in lives, ups and downs in life. You know, we can't quit. You know, we got to face those things. So them are the things that I talk about with my players. You know, let's just hang in there. Don't quit, you know, because the fight becomes real.
Mm-hmm. Coach, before I let you go, is there anything else you want to add as we gear up for the season and, of course, the fundraiser this week?
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone that, you know, that's willing to stick up for us, and especially the Neldon Huff and the Price Post number 3 guys. What an awesome group of guys, and I just really appreciate that, you know, and all you folks out there, appreciate what you do for us, and if you want to come out and support us, and if you please come out and support us, you know, we really appreciate that. So thank you.
Coach, it's always fun to get you in, always fun to talk some Price American Legion baseball. I'm definitely looking forward to the season, and I know we'll have you in a little bit more frequently once the season picks up.
Well, Jordan, I'll be glad to come in here, and I hope that we'll have a few wins on our belt that we can, you know, kind of rally up and, you know, be proud of. So,
Coach, we'll look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Again, that's Coach Willie Ellington of the Price American Legion Baseball Squad. They'll open up the season June 3rd, one day after Helper. And, of course, we'll continue to follow both of those squads throughout their baseball season. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk Triple Crown. I mean, really, do we want to talk about the NBA of what we've seen over the last 2 days? The lottery's been the most interesting storyline. That's how bad the Eastern and Western Conference playoffs have been. We're going to talk Triple Crown. Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico and also the host of the nationally syndicated Fast Track program will come on right after this. It's Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m., and we are going to talk about the Preakness. Seems just like yesterday, we were previewing the Kentucky Derby, and, well, a lot of people had Classic Empire possibly winning that race. Instead, it was Always Dreaming. He has won four races in a row now, including the Florida and the Kentucky Derby, and joining us right now to talk about the Preakness and break it down in general, we have Steve Bordstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, great as always. To get you on. Thank you.
And one of those people who picked Classic Empire. Yay! Good for me. No. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Despite my poor selection in the Derby 2 weeks ago, I feel bad now.
Well, look, it's an honest mistake. You weren't the only one that thought that Classic Empire was actually going to win the Kentucky Derby. But with that being said, I'm sure you were thoroughly impressed with Always Dreaming's performance.
Always Dreaming got the performance that now has become sort of the carbon copy of how to win a Derby. Get the perfect stalking trip, stay close to the lead, pass a couple of horses, stay out of trouble, and get the win. That was Nyquist. That was American Pharoah. That was California Chrome. And it's sort of become like the way you win a Derby now, which I don't know if it's good or bad, because it has taken some of the surprise element out of the race. It's taken out the role that the crazy speed horse used to have in the race. Before we changed over to the point systems, where each prep race meant more as far as points were concerned, the more points you had, the more likely you were to be in the starting gate. We used to determine the starting field by earnings going back to races when these horses were two-year-olds. So you'd get that oddball speed horse, or you'd get that horse that was really good as a two-year-old that might have tailed off a little bit as a three-year-old. Hashtag mind that bird, who was Canadian two-year-old champion, but didn't do much as a three-year-old. But because he still had enough earnings to be in the Derby, well, he found himself in the Derby, and he was dismissed at 50-1 and goes off and wins the Derby. That's changed now. And so you don't see that wacky 44 fraction. You don't see that wacky horse that shouldn't be in the race anyway, but he sets off on really fast fractions and sets the race up for a closer. You get more controlled pace now. So Always Dreaming benefited from that. Now, I'm not dismissing what he did. He ran a great race. He did what he had to do. But if you want to go on, if you want to just isolate, if you have the ability to do this, watch the race multiple times. Watch the trip Always Dreaming got, and you'll see the absolute definition of a dream trip. Then go back and start the race over again and watch Classic Empire, who gets squeezed at the start, virtually eliminated at that point, goes six wide down the backstretch, six wide through the turn, six wide into the lane, and only loses a quarter of a length of ground to the eventual winner, Always Dreaming. If you just take those two trips, that is a tale of two completely different horses who had two completely different journeys, and I don't think one ran any worse than the other. Classic Empire just was victimized by the break, was victimized by the trip over a track that was playing for inside speed and couldn't get the job done.
When we talk about the Preakness, we're talking about a race that's, what, about a football field shorter than the Derby, right?
Correct.
Okay. Does that benefit Always Dreaming, considering that he's aggressive? And Steve, he trained aggressive for the Derby, and by all reports, it appears that he's training aggressively at Pimlico.
It does appear that way. Now, the difference between this race and most of Always Dreaming's other races is the quick turnaround. You go back early 2017 when he broke his maiden at Tampa Bay Downs. At very short odds. He then doesn't race for 6 weeks. Then he has 4 weeks between his victory in an allowance race at Gulfstream Park and his victory in the Florida Derby. Then he's got 5 weeks between races after the Florida Derby leading up to the Kentucky Derby. Now he's got 13 days. So how does he respond to that? Now, we had an incident with Always Dreaming the other day in one of his first gallops over at Pimlico, where he got kind of agitated and got kind of bullish with his exercise rider, almost bucked his exercise rider off the horse. Now, the Todd Pletcher angle is, oh, well, his tank must be filling up really quick and he must be ready to go, or not. Maybe he doesn't want to be out there right now. Maybe he's ticked. Maybe he's tired, and he doesn't want to do this right now. You have to look at it both ways. I don't think the race took that much out of him. I don't think it did. And I say that again, going back to the perfect trip angle. So if he got the perfect trip and everything's fine with him, and he is, and his tank is getting filled, imagine how Classic Empire must be feeling, because he had the worst of it. He took the overland route. He got mud and dirt kicked in his face for the first time in months in his career, and really ran his heart out that day. So I think Always Dreaming moves a little bit forward. I think Classic Empire might back up a little bit, because Classic Empire, to the same point, he had a quick turn. He didn't have these ultimately quick turnarounds. Classic Empire has only raced three times in 2017. This Saturday, he'll be Always Dreaming's fifth race in the year, and I would argue he might be getting better.
Again, our guest right now is Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico as we talk about the Preakness coming up this Saturday. I want to talk about a new challenger. And if you go and look at the odds, Conquest Mo Money it intrigues me a little bit, Steve. I mean, going back and looking at his resume, he was beaten by about a half a length by Classic Empire in the Arkansas Derby. As far as newcomers into this particular race, is he the one to keep an eye on, or is there a better option?
I think Conquest Mo Money is that option. I totally agree with you. I had the opportunity to see him run down at Sunland Park when he won the Mind That Bird Derby three starts back, and he's impressive. He's an impressive racehorse. His second place finish behind Henson in the Sunland Derby wasn't bad. But then you go to that Arkansas Derby where he just lost to Classic Empire. And he battles Classic Empire tooth and nail all the way down the lane here. And you got to remember, you know, New Mexico-based horses aren't supposed to compete at this level. I mean, there was the Mind That Bird incident, but that's essentially like lightning striking in a bottle. So it doesn't happen that often. So you look at Conquest Mo Money and you see Miguel Hernandez and you see Jorge Cadeno, the jockey, and you're like, yeah, right, this isn't going to work. No, this is a different horse. Don't forget, he's a New York bred, so it's not like he's a New Mexico bred horse. He's by Uncle Mo, who was at one point in time one of the early favorites of the Kentucky Derby. His dam sire, Seeking the Goal, was a tremendous route horse back in the day. So there's some pedigree here to suggest that this horse can run. My only worry with him is, now he's lost two in a row with relatively no excuses to two horses in Hence and Classic Empire, who both came back to lose in their next race, the Kentucky Derby. So, can he step up his game? That'll be the big question. What Conquest Mo Money also brings to the table is someone who's going to look Always Dreaming in the eye. They're going to send this horse. He's going to be on or near the front end. So that'll be an interesting pace battle there for Always Dreaming. And one thing you have to look for for the Preakness especially is, unlike the Derby, which is a 20-horse cavalcade, the Preakness generally runs to form. The Preakness generally runs the way a route race is supposed to be run. You've got a couple of speed horses. No one really sets off with these wicked, crazy fractions. It's very similar to any other race. So I think you have to pay attention to Conquest Mo Money. And just as a personal side, I would love nothing more than the folks at Judge Lanier Racing Stables, Tom and Sandy McKenna, to be in the winner's circle at Pimlico, because there are not two finer people in racing in this area, in this region of the country, than the McKenna. They are amazing people, and I'd love to see them in the winner's circle.
Before the Derby, when I had you on, we were talking about no Bob Baffert, and that was quite odd. Now, we did talk about Todd Pletcher, and he's had a lot of success. I mean, obviously, we know, but he's never won at the Preakness. Is that a cause for concern?
No, and here's why, and I brought this up yesterday, as a matter of fact, when I spoke to, when I did one of my previews for this race, with a gentleman who I know from Churchill Downs. Okay, so he's running the Derby a lot of times, and he never wins. He only won once out of like 45 starters in the Kentucky Derby. And you and I know this, and you can look at the past performances for Saturday's race and see that there's a bunch of horses who didn't win the Derby who don't go on to the Preakness. Why would you? Why would you come back in 13 days when you can prep for a big Derby in Iowa, or prep for a big Derby in Oklahoma, or prep for a big Derby in XYZ, insert name of state here? Why would you come back in 13 days? Todd Fletcher doesn't run to the Preakness that often because he doesn't have a reason to. He never won. He had only won the Derby one time. Now, Super Saver, who was his only other prior Derby winner, came back in the Preakness and got his doors blown off. Okay, that happens. So I look at the numbers of Todd Fletcher at Pimlico, and I look at them with a grain of salt. Number one, Todd Fletcher doesn't run a lot of horses in Baltimore anyway. Baltimore is a very unique market. There are a lot of Baltimore and Maryland-based trainers who don't leave the state of Maryland. There's a lot of trainers who don't go to the state of Maryland. So I don't look at Todd Fletcher's numbers at Pimlico as anything more than just numbers at Pimlico, and I don't think, unlike the Derby, where you can look at a trainer and go, wow, he's 1 for 55, and you're like, well, that's a bit disconcerting. Here at Pimlico, I don't think it's the same thing.
We'll step away from the race itself for just a moment. Steve, I'm a sucker for tradition. I'm a sucker for nostalgia. I have to admit it, I am. It's part of the reason you and I go back and forth. Look, one of the things I love so much about Notre Dame football is the tradition. I'm a sucker for tradition. With that being said, is Pimlico, is it in danger of losing the Preakness? Is that at all possible? I've read some articles on this, and I've seen some thoughts on it. Can you see, within the next 10 years, this race not taking place there?
Pimlico is its own worst enemy. Pimlico is a racing season that used to be really important, but the state of Maryland has gutted the racing industry out there. They have sliced out the racing industry and carved it up like a pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving, and it's bad. I would love to say that Pimlico is safe with the Preakness. It may not be. It may be that it moves to Laurel Park in Baltimore, outside Baltimore. Maybe that it moves there. I don't like the idea, and you and I have talked about the whole tradition thing before. I don't want to see the Preakness leave Maryland. I'd love to keep it in Maryland. But the state of Maryland has to start supporting horse racing, and they just don't. And the state of Maryland hasn't made it easy. I mean, they don't. And Pimlico is a 3-week racing season. I mean, that's the oddity of it. Like, you think of Churchill Downs, they have two big racing seasons, one in the spring, one in the fall. Belmont Park, need you say more? Belmont Park is one of the most iconic racetracks in America. Pimlico's just not. So where do you move it? I mean, where would you put the Preakness if it wasn't run in Baltimore, Maryland? You're not going to ask horsemen to send their horses out to California. You're not going to ask horsemen to send their horses to Florida in late spring when it's going to be 105 degrees and balmy and humid. You're not going to do that. So where do you run it? That's the problem. The problem with the Preakness is not if it's going to be in Baltimore, but where would you put it if it's not going to be in Baltimore? I would argue the only other place that it could potentially go is, again, at Churchill. Leave it there. Run the Derby and the Preakness in the same place. Because what you do then is you eliminate the shipping problem. You eliminate the shipping problem. But then comes the argument of, well, now you're making the Triple Crown almost too easy. And that goes to your point of the tradition of it. I don't think it's ever going to leave the state of Maryland. It may just not be at Pimlico maybe 10, 15 years from now.
Let's wrap this up by giving us a prediction. How do you see the Preakness shaping out?
I think Always Dreaming wins. I do. I think Always Dreaming wins. I think there's two horses to look at as far as possible exact to trifecta considerations. We mentioned Conquest Mo Money. I think he's definitely one you have to look at here. The other horse that I would look at is another new shooter in here, the trainer Chad Brown by the name of Cloud Computing. Lightly raced. He only run three times. He was only beaten a couple of lengths behind Irish War Cry in the Wood Memorial Stakes. Trainer Chad Brown is a name that just regular gamblers, regular sports people are not familiar with. Chad Brown is an exceptionally good trainer. This horse has only run three times. This would be his first race outside of New York, but I don't know that that doesn't mean he can't win outside of New York. It just means he hasn't done it yet. I think Cloud Computing could get that kind of trip just behind the Early Speed, behind Always Dreaming, behind Conquest Mo Money. I think he's an interesting player again, and I think you're going to get some value on Cloud Computing as well. I'm the sucker. I'm the guy who, you know, I pick Classic Empire in the Derby. I don't like being wrong. And if I am wrong, then he'll win. If I'm wrong, I think he takes a step backward this weekend. I do. I got a feeling that all the shenanigans that went on with Classic Empire early this year with the training issue and then he didn't run well, I think we might be back to that Classic Empire, and that's what worries me. So I think Always Dreaming wins. Let the hype begin for the next 3 weeks after that, leading up to the Belmont, and then we'll see what happens.
Steve Bordstein, host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, and also the Fast Track on the weekend. Steve, go ahead and let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
If you're on the iHeartRadio app, if you have downloaded the iHeartRadio app, you can hear First Sports weekday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. That's 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch it on the iHeartRadio app by going to our website. That's foxsports1340.com. I do First Sports Monday through Fridays. I also do the Fast Track, which is a nationally syndicated horse racing show. That's also on the iHeartRadio app through that same website. And that goes on at 10 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Mountain Time. And again, you can catch that on the iHeartRadio app as well. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fox1340AM. I'm always thrilled when I do the First Sports program. Jordan is a frequent visitor on the show, talking any number of topics from Lonzo Ball to baseball to boxing. So we appreciate his contributions to the show as well. And it's a fun show to do. We talk a lot of national. We're right now broadcasting the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll soon be getting into the NFL season coming up real soon. So very exciting stuff right now.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on this show. I really appreciate the time, and we'll talk again next week.
Looking forward to it, sir.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more coming up here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. It's Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Final segment here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. You know, for all the boxing and MMA that we've talked over the last 2 weeks, one fight we haven't mentioned is Mayweather-McGregor. And there's been reports from Dana White, who's a great salesman, by the way, that this fight is close to happening. In fact, there was breaking news last night that McGregor and Dana White have come to an agreement on their end, which means the ball is now in Mayweather's court. Look, this fight is still nowhere close to happening. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I think it will happen because I think there's too much money to be made for it not to happen. McGregor and Dana White may have a deal on how they are going to split the revenue, and that's a must because McGregor is under contract with White. But because McGregor and White have found a way to compromise on how they're going to split McGregor's side of the revenue, that doesn't mean that Al Haymon and Floyd Mayweather are close to signing off on anything. Because again, I do believe that Dana White believes that there's going to be a 50-50, 60-40, even a 70-30 split of the purse, and that's just not going to happen. There's no way. Mayweather had a 60-40 split with Pacquiao, and we're talking about one of the greatest fighters of this generation. Highly unrealistic to believe that McGregor is going to get a 70-30 split. It's got to be more like 80-20. That's probably what he's going to get. And I have no idea what he would get on the pay-per-view sales as well. And it's not likely that the gate is going to be anywhere close to what Mayweather-Pacquiao generated, which was $72 million. So while I do believe this fight is going to happen, and I do believe it'll do well as far as the gate and the pay-per-view, I'm telling you, this fight is nowhere near being done. If you think that Mayweather is going to sign off on this fight tomorrow, or that we should be expecting it any time now, it's not going to happen. There's too much on that side that needs to get done. Dana White's done a great job of making it sound as if there was a contract in front of him, and him and Conor McGregor just had to really work out the ins and outs. That's not it. He found a way to split McGregor's revenue with him. That's what their side of the deal stands on. I think this fight happens, but I still think we're a little ways off from it. Out of time on this edition of the show. I got to thank Steve Bortstein and also Willie Ellington for taking out the time to join us. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It's KOL's Drive Time Sports. Be safe. I am out.